Queen Claire Ronan here. Welcome to this week's Up and Running. I'm with you until 10 o'clock this morning. You can always contact me at claire@oceanfm.ie. Well, coming up in this morning's show, we're going to talk to Alan Shaw about the very difficult decision he and his mother made to close Albert Shaw Jewellers on O'Connell Street after 35 years in business. But first this morning, Captain Simon Croghan is going to join us. He's going to tell us exactly what is happening with the aviation industry in Ireland and how the use of rapid antigen testing may get the skies to open earlier than July.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And of course, many of you will have heard this week that Irish pilots are making the news. And this morning, I'm delighted to be joined by Simon Croghan. Now, it's going to take me about 5 minutes to introduce him because he's a captain with Aer Lingus for the last 30 years. He's also a vice chairman of the Airline Pilots Association, IALPA. And most importantly of all, at the moment, he is involved with Recover Irish Aviation. And that is not just concentrating on Aer Lingus, that's all the airlines. Good morning, Simon, and thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's show.
Good morning, Claire, not at all.
Well, you've had a very busy week, but do you mind giving me an overview of what exactly is going on? Because even I've got a bit lost in all of this.
That's no surprise, Claire, because, you know, it's been very disjointed. There's been, you know, a lot of initiatives that have happened, particularly on the EU level, and there's a lot of misinformation and confusing information, even changes of terminology, so I can well understand. In a basic way, we look at it in probably phases. So we have an arrangement in aviation with the UK called the Common Travel Area. That common travel area should be harmonised. So for instance, if I, no matter wherever I go, if I go to the UK on a boat or an airplane, and I get treated the same way when I go over there as a passenger as when I come back. And that's not what's happening at the moment. There's no restrictions on anybody going to the UK at the moment. If they land now, this is obviously bearing in mind you cannot travel unless it's for essential reasons. But if you get an off an aircraft in Manchester or Birmingham or London, you just walk out. You don't even fill in a form, as far as I understand. You might get asked where you've come from, but that would be it. There's no isolation. There's no quarantine. There's no testing requirement. Now, in Ireland, there is, for everybody, effectively, inbound. You have to have a negative PCR test within 3 days, and you have to isolate for 10 with test to release after 5 days. So just bear with me on this. So that's the UK piece, and that has not been sorted. So there's no harmonisation of that yet. Okay. I think that's waiting on epidemiology data coming from the UK, etc., etc. The other main piece is with the EU, which is there's been a huge effort to get freedom of movement within the EU. That's going to work in Ireland on the 19th. It's already happening at the moment in many countries because people in the EU work across borders, etc., etc. So it's very, very important that happens. But in Ireland, we're not implementing what's called the COVID digital certificate until the 19th of July. And that should allow people to travel if they've been vaccinated, if they've recovered, or if they've tested negative. And now each member state has the ability to put a requirement on top of that. And Ireland is a fairly much an outlier in most of these travel restrictions. So in Ireland, you know, we're late to the game in adopting this until the 19th. It's most European nations. In fact, many of them are up and running now. But from the 1st of July, a lot of them are going to be accepting these certificates, which is effectively a health status for you when you travel. So, and the other piece, well, there's two other pieces. So I suppose the North Atlantic piece, so America, we're still waiting to have a bilateral agreement. The EU are talking to America now at the moment on a reciprocal basis to see what happens with passengers that that travel between the EU and the US. So the first part of that would more than likely be an allowing vaccinated passengers access to both markets, and then there will be something like the digital certificate agreed, maybe even the digital certificate agreed for US to EU travel. That's for the Schengen area only, so if you can bear with me. We're not in the Schengen area, Ireland, because we're in the common travel area, so we have the ability to negotiate that separately. And we're urging the government to do that as quick as possible for the obvious reason that vaccinated US tourists would safely and very happily be travelling around Ireland as soon as possible, spending their very well-wanted dollars and euros in our country. And then there's the everywhere else, effectively, which are the Middle East and everywhere else, which is affected by specific rules and quarantine rules, and there's still mandatory hotel quarantine for many places that are of concern. Obviously, India would be one. So it's kind of a four-phased approach, but everybody that comes into Ireland has to be PCR tested within 3 days. That's one of the mainstays at the moment.
Okay, so Simon, I mean, no, you're okay. I mean, you can't disagree with me really when I say that it seems that they just want to keep us all safe without people bringing other, you know, other types of COVID into Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, and the health, you know, public health measures are a priority, but we're getting to a stage of vaccination rollout in all these countries, in Europe as well as everywhere else, where you either make a decision to live with this or not, and there's never going to be zero risk. And there's no variant that can escape a vaccine at the moment, right? So you've got to get to a stage where, you know, the hospital systems, let's say, cannot be affected, you know. And you know, we strongly believe we're at that place now, both in Ireland and in Europe and in the UK, and that the people who are cases, let's say, are not people that are generally going to end up with a serious disease or in hospital. So from the public health situation, we feel you've got to make a call at some stage to get travel, which is a business enabler. It's not necessarily buckets and spades. You know, it's an enabler for business and also for family as well and for workers. So we've got a lot of foreign workers in this country who want to get home, you know, healthcare workers, etc., etc. So, you know, it's not, and there, many of them are vaccinated, etc. So there's no safety issue with an awful lot of this, and there's minimal risk, particularly if you're doing testing and you're doing, you know, you're putting these precautions in place. So we feel now is the time. In fact, we strongly feel now is the time for this to get up and running. And the delays have not helped in Ireland, you know.
Okay, so basically you want to open up the skies. And what are you actually looking? Do you want the date of the 19th of July to be brought closer? And do you want the use of antigen testing? Would that satisfy you?
Yeah, they're two great questions. We want the common travel area opened as soon as possible. We don't think the 9th of July date will get moved forward for Europe, because we just don't. We think that's set in stone, but we would call for it. But bearing in mind we're only allowing indoor dining 2 weeks beforehand, you know, I can see where the thinking is on it, right? Much and all as we would disagree with it. In terms of antigen testing, you brought up an incredibly interesting point, because just today we've had Professor Michael Mina from Harvard address the Transport Committee, and he has completely contradicted what the what NPHET are saying on antigen testing. We feel antigen testing, rapid antigen testing close to the point of departure, so within 24 hours, is the most cost-effective, it's the safest, and it follows all the scientific accuracy points for people to travel. Remember, children more than likely are not going to be vaccinated this summer. Yeah. So how does a family with three kids, maybe the parents are vaccinated, if they have to return to Ireland, Ireland imposes this condition of PCR testing within 3 days. So that could be €300-500 on top of a fare. So it will completely, and I agree with you, it will disincentivize people from travelling. You know, it shouldn't be the prevail of the wealthy. That is wrong. And I mean, we've got a very, very successful, two very successful airlines here, very competitive airlines that have, you know, low-cost models, essentially value models, but low-cost, and that have been world-recognized. So, you know, we can't disincentivize travel for those airlines either, because, you know, we're going to end up losing these airplanes. They're going to be put elsewhere in other countries, and Irish workers will lose work over it, will lose their jobs, you know.
Well, actually, that is very frightening. I mean, we've already seen what's happened to Cork and Shannon Airport. We are in the northwest, so we're very worried about Knock, which has opened up the world to so many people. But it's not just holidays we're talking about, Simon. It's business. It's actually continuing to conduct business. You can't do business, all your business, on Zoom calls. There are a lot of cases where people do need to travel.
No, I totally agree with you. And we've all done lots of business on Zoom, you know, and it has served a purpose. But an awful lot of deals are done, you know, in a restaurant, in a public house, in a having coffee, you know, not, you know, there's things that can be said on Zoom, but there's also things that can't be said on Zoom. All business people understand this, you know, the physical, the one-on-one, you know, when you're looking somebody in the eye and shaking their hand, It's very different. You can't do that over Zoom. So Zoom has served a purpose. But and I have a particular grow for the west of Ireland. My mother lived for 25 years in Westport, so I know Knock Airport. I've flown in many, many times. So, you know, all the western seaboard from Cork, and you're right about Cork as well, Kerry, Shannon and Knock have been devastated by this. And that is where the point of the Irish government should be, as soon as possible, welcoming safely vaccinated US passengers into. Because if we get a couple of months before September of American tourists all along the Wild Atlantic Way, it will probably save an awful lot of businesses. There are businesses that will go under, but it will certainly help an awful lot of businesses to survive. And we need to do that now, because now is the time to actually step up, and now is the time that we have to support these places.
Absolutely, Simon. And I think anyone on the Wild Atlantic Way would agree with you there. Is there anything we can do?
Well, there is. I mean, you know, like, all the pilots have been consistently lobbying their local TDs, and me included, you know, and this is their, we've spent every waking hour doing this, because we do think now is the time. We do think that the public health issue in Ireland is sorted in terms of hospital, the threat to the hospitalisation. We think that the people who are vulnerable have been vaccinated, the healthcare workers and the aged. And by the 19th of July, or by, you know, shortly after, we're going to be in a situation where we absolutely should be fully opened, that there's no variants. The scaremongering over the variants must stop. And in fact, we must start to promote this instead of, you know, the government talking on both sides of their mouth, saying, yes, we will enable aviation. But on the other hand, they're saying, you know, staycations. And staycations are fine, but they are not going to sustain the tourism business in this country. They will not. They're a short-term stopgap. The foreign sterling, the foreign dollar and the foreign euro will sustain that in the medium term. And we need, because those dollars and those euros and those sterling pounds are going elsewhere. They're going to go elsewhere if we don't recognise the fact that we are an outlier in this, because we're so slow to open up.
OK, well, very good points made there by Simon Crogan. And Simon is the Vice President of the Irish Airline Pilots Association. He is a captain with Aer Lingus for 30 years, and he's also involved with this advocate group, Recover Irish Aviation, and they are calling for the skies to be reopened. And the best of luck, Simon, with your advocacy, and hopefully we'll be all safely travelling very soon.
Many thanks, and best of luck to all those people who are relying on us to deliver that.
Up and running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
I'm in Albert Shaw's Jewellers on O'Connell Street in Sligo. Many of you will know and have very, very fond memories. I was just listening to two customers here talking about how they bought their wedding rings and their watches here all the time over the last 35 years. And this morning I'm joined with Alan Shaw, who's working here with his mum, Reenie. And you've made a very difficult decision recently, Alan.
Yeah, it's a very difficult decision, all right. Took a lot of thinking about, and, well, I suppose COVID really brought the whole thing to a head. The main start of it was when Albert passed away in August of last year, which was very tough. It left a big hole in the whole family and the business. And yeah, it just, I suppose, made us think really about what's important in life. And yeah, it's just the two of us left, my mother and myself. My brother passed away early last year as well, so yeah, it was tough. And we, well, you know, seeing what was important in life, so.
You've decided to close the door of the jewellers after 35 years.
We have, yeah. Well, my mother is at retiring age now, and she took the decision to retire. And, well, I'm using the opportunity to maybe go on to a different career. And, yeah, it's been tough, yeah. It's been.
So your dad opened the jeweller 35 years ago. He must have been a young enough man when he did so.
He was, yeah. He worked in Nelson's, which was a jeweller shop as well before that, from the age of 12. So he's been a long time in the business. And when they closed, he took the opportunity to open in O'Connell Street his own shop, which was down the arches, which people will probably remember. It was in beside John Kent Sport, and there was a pound shop in there as well. So he spent 6 years in there, and then he moved up to this location on the other end of O'Connell Street. And yeah, I think it's important to say as well the hard work that both my parents put into the business from the very start. I remember when I'd been a child, and there was a lot of late nights and early mornings. So yeah, they worked very hard, and they were rewarded by the loyalty of all the people of Sligo, and they built up a very strong customer base with.
It was very well thought of in Sligo. I mean, I've only been in the shop for half an hour, and there's people coming in all the time to sympathise with you and to talk about your dad and to say they're sorry that you're closing. Obviously, it's difficult to keep the business running without him.
It is very difficult, yeah, especially it's just me and my mother now. So, yeah, it is difficult. He was a major part of the business. People came in especially to see him and to deal with him.
Had he trained as a jeweller abroad, or was that through working in the shop?
Through working in Nelson's initially, and he did some courses in watchmaking and jewellery repair, and kind of passed that on to me then, and I took over that area of the business.
So, Alan, you now are going to embark maybe on a new career. Have we to watch this space? Hopefully you'll be coming with something new for us.
Well, hopefully, yeah, hopefully. Haven't fully decided what I'm going to do yet. Working with wood. That's my main love, so yeah.
Well, that would be fabulous. And maybe something on O'Connell Street here in Sligo, or certainly in the town, we can keep an eye out for you.
You never know, yeah.
Okay, well, you just particularly wanted to thank the people of Sligo because they've been amazingly supportive following the tragic death of your dad and your brother, haven't they?
Absolutely, yes. Just one thing that we will definitely miss is the customers coming in, and the friendship that they've shown, and the kindness and support. And it's just, as soon as we announced it on Facebook, it's been floods of good wishes coming in, and people coming in off the street and just giving us their best wishes. And just like to thank them for all the years of custom and support.
Okay, well, Alan, the very best of luck to you and your mum, and of course our sincere sympathies on the death of your brother and your dad. And we'll miss you on the main street in O'Connell Street. Your dad was a wonderful man. I knew him as well. Look, the best of luck with your new business, and we'll come back and check in with you in a few months.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Claire, for giving us this opportunity. Thank you.
and that is Alan Shaw, Albert Shaw's son, in O'Connell Street in Sligo. Albert Shaw's jeweller shop is closing on the 30th of June.
Up and running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week. I just wanted to mention one thing that Captain Simon Croghan asked me to mention to the listeners this morning. If anyone was thinking of booking a holiday later on in the summer, he just mentioned that maybe we should consider using a travel agent because you have more protection if you've booked something through a travel agent and there are any changes to your schedule. You just never know at the moment. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week. Thank you very much, as always, to all my guests for joining me this morning. But as always, most importantly, thank you all very much for listening. Stay tuned, because Niall Delaney is up next with the best of this week's North West Today. If you want to listen back to this show or any of Ocean FM's shows, you can do so on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Ocean FM Ireland. Have a good week, and I look forward to talking to you next Saturday.